For those of you who don't know, my name is John Arts. So I live in Mexico now, and I served ministers for many times, but I didn't come here and preach until I came to the Epicenter. I prayed one time, and then Lena goes, he's a preacher, so she kind of pushed me. And then when I was here, she goes, you want to preach? I go, no, because I was going back to where I was at. I go, no, I'm good. And then so when I came back, she goes, you want to preach? And I preached, and she goes, you should have preached last time because you would have got an offering. Now you're not a guest, so. But I used to preach 10, 15, 20-minute sermons, so today's not going to be a problem for me. I'm going to teach a little bit, not preach so much. All that means is I'm going to go slower, not so loud, but the content will be the same, so that's all that means. But I want to talk about the promise and the purpose separately, because we see a promise, but God's trying to work the purpose. We want the promise, but God's working the purpose. And I'm going to give you an example of Joseph. For those who don't know, Joseph had a dream. The Bible says Joseph had a dream. So you can have a promise, or you can have a desire, or you can want to go this way. But God had a purpose. And the dream Joseph had was his brothers bowing down to him. Right? So he shares his dream with his brothers, and they hate him the more. But then he has another dream, the stars and the moon. And his father says, are we going to bow down to you? So that is the promise. But that is not the purpose. The Bible says there came a day when King David realized while he was king, it was for Israel's sake. So God gave David the throne for Israel's sake. Now, David didn't know it when he first heard the word. You're going to be ordained king. That's great. I get to rule for Israel's sake. That's great. I have a sermon to help people. That's great. I have a business to bless someone. That's great. I'm ordained. It's always about others. Jesus did not come for himself. If he did, he would never have to leave heaven. He didn't need to die on the cross for himself. He didn't need to preach to himself. He didn't need to teach to himself. He did it for others. Now, if we're going to follow Christ, that's the same way. So whatever promise you have, so many times we're believing for the promise, but God's trying to work the purpose in us because the promise is set, but it's the purpose that he has a problem with. So Joseph saw him bowing down, and so he told him the dream, but they took Joseph and they threw him in a pit. So Joseph is in a well, actually. So some traders came by, and they took Joseph out. And then they sold him to some other traders, and the Bible says they brought him to Egypt. Why? Because Joseph needed to be in Egypt, because this is what was going to happen. There was going to be a famine in the land, and God was going to provide in Egypt. But it was to save the lineage, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God's purpose was to keep his people alive, not just to bring Joseph to rule. And so later, when the brothers came, and I'm just summarizing this story. And let me just take a little break. Beep, break. I got saved when I was 13 years old. I went to church, and I would read the Bible by myself. If you only hear a sermon, and you go, okay, you need to dig for yourself the sermon. You need to go to the Word. I was 13 years old, and I would go and I would read the Bible for myself. Nobody taught me. I didn't have a pastor. I just went. And if a 13-year-old can do it, you can do it. So you can hear something that I don't quite understand it. You can go, I don't quite understand it. Or you can dig for yourself the story of Joseph, because God will show you things that he did not show me. So God brought Joseph before the famine, and he put him at the right hand of Pharaoh. But then when his brothers came to bow down to him for grain, that was the promise. Dan, if you could put the scriptures up that I sent you. God, I want you to see the purpose, because that was, oh, they're going to bow down to me. It was no longer about that, because God worked the purpose in Joseph when he was in the pit, when he was in the prison. And then it says, then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, because they didn't even recognize him. They just saw him ruling and they were bowing down, not even realizing they were actually given the promise. I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. So we saw the promise, but you have purpose. And there's a purpose behind every promise. Keep going. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. So he says there's 2 years and there's yet 5 years to come. That's why I'm here, because God made a promise to Abram. See, God made one promise to one man, Abram. From you, I'll bring Israel. From you, I'll bring stars. So it's not just about the promise that you carry. There's a purpose that God wants to develop in you. And so many times we're believing for the spouse or the missus or this, but it's the purpose he's trying to work in you. So when you stand in that position, it's not about you. It wasn't about to rule over your brothers. And Bible says Joseph wept. Go ahead, Dan. Oh, I told you I was going to teach. Let me slow down. One more. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. And God used a non-believer's resource to bless his promise. So I don't know what you're believing God for, but there's something bigger than that, and that's the purpose he's working in you. We're going to have revival. That's the promise, but there's a purpose. It's for another Dan and Alicia to come in who's broken and hurt, and they think they're useless, and to God to encourage them and to bless them, and maybe one day they'll be ordained or have a business or go to a country. Or so I don't know what he's told you, but what the devil will come and say, you know what, that doesn't seem logical, and God will bring you to a place, and it's not about, it's about planting, let me just say this, it's about planting a new tree. God wanted Abram and Canaan, okay? And the Bible says he went with his dad, but because God called Abram to a certain land, and his dad actually says he's going there, but his dad settled there. He settled before he got to the place where he's at, and then God had to tell Abram, because his dad was headed there. You know, you may be headed there in your mind, but you settled, or your parents settled, or your grandparents settled. We cannot be settlers. We cannot just settle here for comfort. Comfort kills destiny. Trust me, I know. I love comfort. I love comfort. I don't like being discomforted. But 80% of Jesus' ministry was an interruption. 80%. Preaching down the hall, walking, someone touched him, going over here, someone touched him, a wedding. It was interruptions, but it wasn't an interruption for the kingdom. If you're willing to be interrupted in your sleep, in your prayer life, and what you thought church was, if you're willing for God to interrupt what you think religion is or relationship is, he can work a purpose in you, and promises won't even matter. Promises are not the problem with God. It's the purpose he's trying to work in you. And if you just want a throne for yourself like David, read the Psalms. Those were not written in a palace. Those were written when he was running in the Cave of Adullam and all those places. But there came a day when David realized while he was king, it was for Israel's sake. He didn't realize when he got the promise. He didn't realize when he was in the cave. He didn't realize he was. But there comes a day. There must come a day when you realize I'm in this position for a purpose. And it's not so you have a title. They give all kinds of titles to Jesus, but he set his face like the cross. Jesus left comfort. Heaven was comfortable for him, for the cross. And if you're willing to leave your comfortable place, what you think God is, religion is, what he's always, I don't know your name right here, but there's way more to God than you've seen. There's way more to God than you. So what's your name? Genesis, what a beautiful name. Lord, we bless Genesis. I bless your comings and your going, Genesis. I bless the new doors and the new ways and the new anointings and the new flow, because God's not stopped with you, girl. I don't know what they said, what they did, what they said, but he's breaking you out of that cycle, whatever. And I'm not saying you're limiting yourself, but there's way more to God than you've seen, amen? 12 minutes, boom, done. No, Joseph had a dream, but God had a purpose. You're going to bow down to me. For a 17-year-old, he was the most favored son. But Joseph didn't realize they're not bowing down to worship you. They're bowing down because they need food. Because I made a promise to one man, and I had a purpose for that promise. Out of that promise would come a seed, and that seed would destroy Satan. And that seed is Israel, so the whole world can attack Israel, and yet it will stay. In the book of Revelation, there's only one city named Jerusalem, not New York, not Bangkok, not Shanghai, it's Jerusalem. Why? Because whatever the God loves, Satan hates. He loves marriage, man and woman, Satan hates it. So he will come at you to destroy the purpose, because Satan knows the purpose. He's seen it all. He's seen God take a king from a field and make him a king. He's seen an orphan girl become a queen. Satan has seen it all. So he can come to you and tell you, you have no purpose. And he'll try to destroy your promise, but all the time God's trying to work the purpose in you. So when you get to that position of the promise, now you can see the purpose, and it doesn't hurt people. Amen? So he's working in you, working in you. So Lord, I just thank you today. You're working in us, your purpose. We see the promise. We're claiming the promise and revival, but what's the purpose? What's the purpose of people coming in to give their lives to Christ and the change and the life and the flow? What's the purpose of the business or the church or whatever you believe in God for? Lord, we just thank you for working out that purpose in us so we can actually can expedite the promise. And so when Joseph was thrown in the prison, he was still interpreting dreams. If you let bitterness and anger stop you, that'll stop the purpose in your life. He was still interpreting dreams, and out of that interpretation, there came. And Joseph was in the prison, but they were in the palace having a conversation. And while Joseph was getting up just for another mundane day to feed the prisoners, because he was over all the prisoners, there was a conversation in the palace because the man in charge had a dream. And somebody said, oh, I forgot. When I was in prison, he interpreted. So there's God, heaven's having conversations about you. You don't know. You just think it's another mundane day, just sitting, blind beggar, sitting on the road. But Jesus was passing by. They didn't plan that. But when that opportunity came, they said, Son of David, have mercy on me. There's opportunities today. You know, last time I talked about opportunities, right? Last time I preached, if you weren't here. So there's opportunities that we must get a hold of, but it's the purpose that he is working in you. Paul talked about the purpose. Jesus talked about the purpose. And it's more. The purpose is greater than the promise. It's the why to the what. Because, oh, I'm gonna be an apostle to the nations, the metaverse. Why? Follow me. Why? You're all going to die except John. You're all going to be martyred. Who wants to sign up? I'm going to be a millionaire. Why? I'm going to be a mom. Why? Let me just say this. You don't pick your kid's destiny. You nurture it. You don't try to guide him to school or guide him to Bible college or guide him to this or guide him to that. You nurture it. God, what have you called them to do? And you nurture it because we are stewards. So what is the purpose of God? And here's the thing. When you see the promise, when you give God your promise, God, however you want to develop it in me, it will expedite it. It will cause you less problems. And you realize people are not your enemy. Nobody can stop you but your decisions. Wherever it is, your boss, your job, your parents, your generation, no one can stop you but your own decisions. When you stop getting angry, Joseph still interpreted dreams. Dreams are what put him there. It's what put him there. I had a dream. Boom, we're throwing you in a well. And then someone comes up and goes, I had a dream. Can you interpret it? Nah, I used to do that. I used to go to one of those churches, but I got hurt. I used to raise my hands. I used to speak in tongues. I used to prophesy, but it was the very same thing that got him there that got him out. And if bitterness and anger would have, he would have stayed there. But there's Joseph. All right, feed over prisoner. But let's pretend Paul's a prisoner. Prisoner 107, feed 107. Joseph, you're needed because there was a conversation and the Bible says they quickly brought him out of prison and Joseph never went back there again. Now, Potiphar, and I'll end with this, Potiphar threw Joseph in prison, but Pharaoh brought him out. Why is that important? Potiphar is an officer of Pharaoh, Pharaoh's top. So now Joseph, when the one over Potiphar brought Joseph out, now Joseph is over the one that actually threw him in. So whatever threw you down, now you are over. So the second or third one in charge threw him in because his wife falsely accused him. But then when the man in charge had a dream, he pulled Joseph up and he set Joseph at the right hand. Now Joseph is over the household that threw him down. So whatever threw you down, God could bring you over. I don't know what's caused you not to believe him anymore, but there is a conversation in heaven to pull you what you pull. Let's stand up. To pull, and I'm not trying to create something. Look, I'm going. You're staying. Lord, I just thank you. Whatever has pushed us down, pulled us down, kept us down. Now there's a conversation in heaven, and the Bible says you're quickly needed. He shaved, he showered, he got up, and he never went back to prison again. God, I thank you that the mundane doesn't stop us from believing you. There's a purpose that you are developing in us, and every promise has a purpose that's bigger than the promise. Potiphar threw him in. Pharaoh brought him out. Satan threw you down. Jesus brought you out. Depression put you down. The Holy Spirit brought you out. There's one greater who pulls you out, and now Joseph is standing over the very household that threw him down. Go read about Mordecai. Go read about, read your word and let God speak to you. Let him develop those purposes in you. So when you get a promise, it can be expedited and you just don't focus on them bowing down. You focus on the lineage that you saved. You're feeding the very promise that God has, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And if there's one thing this house is, it's lineage. That's why we love young people. That's why we love old people. Old people, speak to the young people. Never be jealous of someone's gifts. And Jesus said, you will do greater works than me. It doesn't mean you're greater, but no one's taking the position of Jesus. He's at the right hand of the Father. I want the next generation to do greater, but you don't take the position. Greater works don't make you greater. And I'm going to say this. Lena, Elijah did double than Elijah. Double, Paul. Double gifts. Double this. But it wasn't the spirit of the double. It was the spirit of Elijah. It was the one that plowed. Because Elisha plowed in the natural, but Elijah plowed in the spiritual. And it was the spirit of Elijah. And who was transfigured was not the one that did double miracles. It was the one that plowed. And this house is Elijah anointing. It's one of the things where we're not afraid if you do more. It doesn't change our position with him. We want you to do more. Jesus said, greater works you shall do. But no one's greater than Jesus. No one can go to heaven and I said, I did more miracles. I did double. I did triple. Let me stand at the right hand of Father. No one's going to do that because that is his position. So we thank you. This is the Elijah house. That we're not afraid of them doing the double. We're not afraid of anointing people. I'm not afraid to lay hands on Paul and say, whatever's in me, triple it or double it or quadruple it, God. It's not about who does greater works. It's about who knows you more. Who knows the purpose more. You're working purpose in us, God, that's greater than the promise. Let us see the purpose over the promise. They're bowing down to me, and so you can feed them. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So Lord, whatever generational thing that's held us back, we just say, we do not connect to it. We don't let bitterness or anger hold us. And God, we want your purpose on that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we're not afraid to say, you will do more. Because it's the kingdom that's advanced, not you. Your name may be on the ministry, it may be on the business card, they may recognize you as Dr. This or Dr. That, but what is the purpose? So we thank you for today, God, that everybody in here has a purpose. And whatever promises we have that we have buried, God, ask for forgiveness, and we give them back to you because you are a redeemer. It's not just a word. It's not just a title. It's who you are. You redeem what we have destroyed or buried. So, Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for blessing your people, God. I thank you as they get in the word this week, God, that you will stir their hearts in their minds in Jesus' name.